Well, I had an emphasis today on water quantity and particularly the feed development of irrigation feedstock or irrigated feedstocks for biofuels. I primarily examined the irrigated corn for corn-based ethanol and went through some statistics that are collected about where that corn might be grown and how much water it might take.
And what did you find out from your research as far as, you know, what we're doing to grow more corn and in maybe areas that we have to irrigate more?
Well, there's definitely some irrigated corn that's going into the ethanol process. If we look now, there's about 15% of the corn that are in counties that where there are ethanol plants. About 15% of that corn is irrigated. So there is some corn going through the ethanol process that's irrigated. And basically what I found was it takes 2,500 gallons of water for a bushel of corn in some of the plain states. And you translate that to ethanol, it takes somewhere between 750 and 1,000 gallons of irrigation water per gallon of ethanol if you're using irrigated corn as a feedstock. And we talked about what that might be like in the future if you go to cellulosic, and basically made the observation that a lot will depend upon what type of cellulosic material is used. In some places, grasses might be less water intensive. In other places, they may be more water intensive than the crops that are currently being irrigated.
It sounds like either way, maybe some of those areas that are irrigating quite heavily to get these crops, whether they're cellulosic or whether they're corn, maybe do they need to reconsider what they're using for feedstock into the biofuels game?
Well, certainly long-run sustainability of biofuel feedstocks is an issue that has received a lot of attention from USDA, environmental groups, and other organizations. Working through this transition, we have to use what we have. And right now, if you have an area that is dependent upon irrigation for the type of feedstock that the processing plant needs today, then in fact that needs to be irrigated. As we look forward, though, we hope we can develop cellulosic-based ethanol that doesn't rely on that type of crop that has to be irrigated in those environments.
What type of time frame, I guess, are we looking at, though, to make a transition like that? That sounds like that could be quite a ways down the road kind of issue.
Well, we've been irrigating now in this country for about 100 years as it's grown from, you know, 10 million acres to the current level of 55 million acres. We've accomplished that in part by expanding our sources of irrigation water and part by improving how we manage irrigation water to try to lengthen and the time that it's available in situations where it's not renewable. We need to continue those efforts and continue down that road at the same time try to develop crops and practices that will let us make that transition to cellulosic materials.
Well, I know the one graphic you had up there, you looked at the Oglala water aquifer, especially out in the Great Plains area, and it seems to me like we're just putting more and more demands on what's a finite source. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment. As we continue to use that water, it is replenishing very slowly and will need to be. And in fact, societies in that region, local communities and local governmental organizations in those regions are recognizing that and are looking to manage the aquifer now for a longer run sustainability. In some cases, this may mean that producers are required to reduce the amount of land that they have under irrigation, or at the minimum, manage the water that they put on to maximize the benefit that comes from it.
It sure sounds like, though, there's no way they can continue doing what they've done for the last 100 years, considering how much more ramped up it is, how much more they're trying to produce, and how that's growing exponentially. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, we can continue till the water's gone, and then we'll have to do something else if we want to take it to that limit. But as we improve technology, as we improve crop genetics, as we change the crops that we grow, in areas requiring supplemental irrigation, we can do a lot to stretch that water and that water supply. You know, if you look around, there's not that many places in the country that require, that absolutely require irrigation. In most places, it's supplemental to natural rainfall. And if we chose to grow sorghum rather than corn, for example, we may not need to irrigate. But given the price differentials now, it is just not favorable for those non-irrigated crops. And hopefully, cellulosic may provide an option that is favorable for a non-irrigated crop in those regions.
Noel, some great information. Anything else you'd like our audience to understand about what you're presenting today, and I guess where we go from here?
Well, I would like to add that, you know, this, like many other issues, is there's a lot of different sides and a lot of different spectrums to it, involving producers' need to make a profit, the need for water resources to be sustainable in the long run, and the future and the research direction as we go forward. Clearly, producing more with less is a good thing, and that's never been any more true than now in water with water resources.